Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Amen. And so today we're continuing on in our series called Excess Baggage. And throughout this series, we've been discovering that many of us are carrying things that God never really intended us to carry in the first place. Things that are adding unnecessary weight to our life and stops us walking in that freedom that Jesus purchased for us. And today, we're talking about another burden that I think many Christians, many people carry without even recognizing it. It affects almost every single one of us. And today, I want to talk about doom scrolling and digital distraction. Doom scrolling and digital distraction, and most of us know exactly what that means when I say those words. Why? Because we've all experienced it. You pick up your phone to check one message, one video leads to another, a notification appears and a headline catches your attention, another video, oh, and I need to check how many people have liked that post, and before you realise it, 45 minutes have disappeared. And you wonder where the times went. And what happens? You've accomplished very little. And you're left feeling mentally tired, anxious, or frustrated. See, sometimes you find yourself comparing your ordinary life with someone else's carefully edited highlights. Or you begin worrying about situations that are happening on the other side of the world that you have absolutely no control over. Why? Because you've just sat and spent ages watching videos all about it. Technology promises us connection, but often it just delivers distraction. And please hear me carefully as I begin. This is not a sermon against technology. It's not a sermon against mobile phones. Technology is a wonderful gift when we use it well. People watch our services online. People read their Bibles on their phone. I read my Bible on my phone every single day. People encourage others using their phones. People pray with others within seconds thanks to technology. Technology can be used to glorify God. Let me tell you, the problem is not the phone. The problem begins when the phone begins to control us instead of serving us. That's where the problem comes. The problem begins when our devices are shaping our thinking more then God's word is shaping our thinking. Every day, somebody is competing for your attention. News companies, advertisers, streaming platforms, businesses and influencers, they all want your attention. That's what they're looking for. Attention has become the most valuable resource in our world. See, the goal is simple. The longer they keep your attention, the more successful those people and those organizations will become. And the question is not whether somebody wants your attention. The question really is, who is actually receiving your attention? Whatever continually fills our minds eventually shapes our decisions. Our thinking shapes our decisions. We spoke about this last week. Our thinking starts to shape our decisions. Our decisions become our habits. Then our habits start to shape our life. And Scripture understood this long before the smartphone was ever invented. God has always cared about what enters into our minds. Why? Because he knows that what repeatedly enters in there eventually settles in our hearts. So this message is not really about phones or social media, but it's about attention, affection, and worship. And the enemy has always understood this principle. He doesn't always need people to reject God. He sometimes just simply needs them to keep distracted long enough that they stop listening to him. And most Christians never ever wake up one morning and decide just to drift away from Jesus. It just happens gradually. Prayer becomes shorter. Bible reading becomes occasional. Worship just becomes routine. Every quiet moment that we have just becomes filled with noise. Every spare moment becomes occupied until there's no room left for stillness in our life. And I think one of the greatest spiritual battles facing our generation is not persecution, but it's distraction. Distraction. See, if the enemy can't destroy your faith, perhaps he will just settle for distracting it. And there's a well-known illustration about I'm sure you've heard this before, about a professor who filled a jar with golf balls. And he asked the students, is it full? And they said, yes. But then he poured in pebbles and then he said, is it full? And they said, yes. But then he managed to add sand. And of course, he said it was full again. Then he poured in some water and he's like, they said it's full now. And he filled the jar in a specific order for a specific reason. So the golf balls, they represent the most important things in life, such as faith, family, health, relationships, and purpose. The pebbles represented other significant things, such as work, home, responsibilities. The sand represented the smaller concerns, distractions, and less important activities. And then the water finally shows that even when life feels full, there's still room for friendships, conversation, or time with others. But the main lesson from that illustration is that the biggest priorities must go into your life first. See, when the sand goes in first, there's not any room left for the golf balls. But when you put the golf balls in first, there's plenty of room left for the sand. The lesson is really simple. If you fill your life with the small things first, there'll never be room for what matters most. And I really believe that many people have not rejected God. They've just simply filled every available space with something else. And throughout Scripture, we repeatedly discover that God often speaks in moments of quietness. He met Moses in the wilderness. He spoke to Elijah through a gentle whisper. And Jesus regularly withdrew to lonely places, not to scroll his phone and look at Instagram, but he regularly withdrew to lonely places to pray. Stillness has always been one of God's favourite meeting places. So let me just suggest to you today that perhaps putting down our phones is much more spiritual than we realise. Perhaps switching off the endless noise around about us is not wasting time. Perhaps it's making room for the voice of God in our lives. And I think over the next few minutes we're going to discover that reclaiming our attention, it's not about legalism and rules. It's about freedom. It's about peace. It's about hearing God's voice more clearly. It's about travelling lighter by laying down the digital baggage that quietly steals our joy, our focus, and our intimacy with Jesus. So let me give you three things that should hopefully help us in this area. And let me tell you, I need these three things too. I'm preaching to Stephen today. Like, I'm constantly distracted, and I'll share more about that in a minute. The first thing I want to share with you today is what we consume shapes what we become. And one of the greatest lies in modern culture is that what we watch, read, and listen has very little effect on us. People just dismiss it as entertainment or social media, and it's just background noise. But let me tell you, Scripture paints a really different picture to that. Psalm 101 verse 3 says, I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. I hate what faithless people do. I will have no part in it. See, David there is making a deliberate decision about what he would place before his eyes. And that decision was not just simply about avoiding obvious sin, it was about intentional living. David understood something that many people forget. You always become familiar with what you repeatedly look at. What becomes familiar eventually just becomes normal. And what becomes normal eventually begins to shape the way that you think, how you speak, how you live your life. And our lives always move in the direction of our attention. Imagine walking through a forest that no one has ever walked through before. And if you start to walk the same path every day, eventually what happens is a clear track appears. The grass disappears, the ground becomes firm, and the route becomes easier every time you walk over that route. And our minds work in pretty much the same way. Every repeated thought creates another pathway. Every repeated image strengthens another pathway. And every repeated message just reinforces that pathway. That is why constantly consuming fear eventually produces fear-filled people. Constantly consuming outrage just produces angry people. Constantly consuming comparison just produces dissatisfied people. Constantly consuming hopelessness just produces discouraged people. Whatever we repeatedly feed grows stronger day by day. And we experience this every single day. 20 minutes of negative news can leave us worried about the economy, politics, conflict, and the future. Like, I hate watching the news. I turn it off. Remember during COVID when you had the news on constantly at the start? And after a few weeks, we realized, actually, that, hang on a minute. Like, this is just making us, like, pfft. Like, Nicola can stick her... I'm sorry, I'm not going there. Get in trouble for saying that. Turn the news off. Turn the news off. Nothing. When we sit and watch the news for 20 negative news, nothing in our circumstances has changed. But only what entered our minds has changed. And it can leave us feeling rock bottom. Matthew 6, 22 to 23, Jesus says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Let me remind you, our eyes are spiritual gateways, not just simply physical organs. Everything that we repeatedly allow through those gateways influences the condition of our inner life. And this is why advertisers understand attention so well. They know that repeated exposure changes our behavior. Social media companies understand this also. Every platform is designed to keep you looking for one more swipe, one more video, one more notification. And each individual moment just seems harmless. But the danger is found in the accumulation. Minutes become hours. Who's been there? Minutes become hours sitting scrolling on our phones. Hours become days and days become years. And slowly our attention is trained to expect constant stimulation. Silence starts to feel uncomfortable. Waiting becomes frustrating. And because we're so used to this constant stuff coming at us, reading the Bible for 10 uninterrupted minutes suddenly feels difficult. Why? Because our minds have become conditioned to expect something new every few seconds. Some people can watch short videos for hours and hours and hours, but then claim that they struggle during worship. Struggle to concentrate. And let me tell you, the issue is not intelligence. The issue is training. Our attention has been discipled by our devices. And Jesus wants our attention to be discipled by his presence. Why? Because the presence of God is always more fulfilling than the endless noise coming from everywhere else. The word of God has always nourished our souls more deeply than another news update. The peace of Jesus satisfies something another hour online can never ever produce. And the answer is not just simply less scrolling. The answer is more of Jesus. The problem is with doom scrolling is not only the amount of time that it consumes in our life, but the greater problem is what is quietly just feeding into our hearts every time. Fear, comparison, envy, division, suspicion, restlessness, discontentment. None of these qualities resemble the fruit of the Spirit. But compare that with what grows in us when we consistently consume God's word. Our faith grows. Hope rises. Peace becomes more evident. Wisdom becomes more clearer. Compassion becomes deeper. And our perspective changes. Why? Because our source has changed. Imagine one glass filled with clean water and another with muddy water. If the clean water is continually flowing into the muddy glass, eventually what happens? The dirty water is pushed out. And God invites us then to keep filling our lives with his truth. Keep reading scripture, keep praying, keep worshipping, keep gathering with God's people, keep spending time in his presence. Slowly, the things that once dominated our thinking begin to lose their grip. Ephesians 5, 15 to 16 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Paul understood that time is one of God's greatest gifts. And the enemy loves wasting our time. Why? Because wasted time often becomes wasted opportunity. Think about the conversations, the opportunities to encourage, and the moments with God we miss because our attention is already occupied. Presence is becoming increasingly rare. People long to be heard. People long to know someone is really listening to them. People long to know that somebody is looking into their eyes instead of over their shoulders at yet another screen. And one of the greatest gifts you can give another person today is your undivided attention. That is exactly what God offers for every single one of us. Whenever we come into his presence, he gives us his full attention. Surely he deserves ours. Perhaps the question we need to ask this morning is not simply how much time am I spending on my phone. Perhaps the deeper question is this: what is shaping me the most right now? Is it Instagram and TikTok, or is it the Word of God? Perhaps, why? Because whatever is shaping you today will be influencing who you become tomorrow. And if Jesus is shaping your heart, you'll increasingly become more like Jesus. But if endless digital noise is shaping your heart, that too will eventually become visible in your attitudes, in your relationships, and in your spiritual life. And God is inviting us to travel lighter. And the journey begins by choosing carefully what we allow to shape our hearts. So number one, what we consume shapes what we become. Number two, stillness is a spiritual weapon. One of the greatest casualties of modern life is silence. There was a time when people sat on buses, waited in queues, and walked through parks without reaching for a screen. They could go to a restaurant without looking at their phone. They could travel in a car. I seen a video on social media, as it happens. But I seen this video the other day, and it was a guy saying, and it basically showed his kids in the car, and to keep them entertained, they had about 15 screens all around the car, and then it showed a video of when he was young in his car, and he was excited because one raindrop went faster down the window than another one. See, those ordinary moments, sat on the bus, waited in a queue, walked through the park, became opportunities to think, to pray, and to listen. But today, almost every spare moment can be filled with noise. If we have 30 seconds, we feel bored of anxious or wake during the night, what do? Scroll. Is that just me? No. Scrolling has quietly become our default response to almost every single emotion. And the problem is not simply that we're filling our time, but at the same time, though, we're emptying our souls. Scripture repeatedly reminds us that God often does his deepest work in the quiet places. Think about Elijah. After one of the greatest victories in his life, he found himself exhausted, discouraged, overwhelmed. Where did God meet him? Not scrolling through Instagram. Let's read from 1 Kings 19, verse 11. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard that, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And I think that passage challenges many of our assumptions about God. We often expect God to shout, but he often chooses to whisper. The difficulty is that it's not that God has stopped speaking to us, it's that our lives have become so noisy and so full that we struggle to hear him. Trying to hear God can feel like listening for a whisper beside concert speakers. The whisper has not become quieter, the background noise has just become louder. Have we created any space just to listen in our lives? Let me remind you, stillness is not empty. It allows us to notice Notice what activity hides and reminds us that God is God and that we are not. Psalm 46 gives us one of the most famous invitations in Scripture. And it just simply says, be still. Be still. Be still. How many of us will struggle just to sit and be still without picking up our phones? That temptation would be there to reach for our phone. And let me tell you, stillness is not presented as a personality type. It's an act of trust. Busy people often believe that everything just depends on them. But stillness declares that everything ultimately depends upon God. That is why stillness becomes a spiritual weapon. It pushes back against anxiety. It pushes back against hurry. It pushes back against the lie that our worth is measured by our productivity. And Jesus understood this perfectly. Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, take note, very early, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And I read that and I think, if the Son of God intentionally stepped away from that constant demand in order to pray, how much more do we need these moments ourselves? Jesus was surrounded by people who needed healing, teaching, and answers. There was never a shortage of demands on his attention, but he repeatedly chose solitude before the activity. He understood that his public ministry flowed from his private communion with his Father. But what happens with us? We live in a different order. We live in that opposite order. We spend all our energy on activity, and whatever time we have left is offered to God. Then we wonder why we're feeling spiritually exhausted. And I think it's possible we become so busy doing things for God that we neglect just simply being with him. We can attend church, we can serve, we can lead, we can volunteer, we can consume plenty of Christian content, but we can still neglect quiet time in God's presence. Nothing can replace being with Jesus. And many of us are not distracted by bad things, but by many good things. Phones buzz, emails arrive, headlines demand attention, and videos begin automatically. And none of those things in amongst ourselves are sinful, but put them all together, and it just becomes spiritually exhausting because they continually pull our attention away from God's presence. And I think there's a really wonderful picture from nature that illustrates this so well. I mean, have you ever watched an eagle soaring high above the ground? It just does it effortlessly. The eagle is not constantly flapping its wings like the sparrow or the robin. It's learned just to catch the wind. And when you watch those smaller birds in our garden, it's like they exhaust themselves through endless activity. But the eagle rises because it trusts the current that is beneath it. And I think many of us are living like the smaller birds, always rushing, always striving, always exhausted. But God is inviting us to become more like the eagle. And please note, that is not an invitation to become lazy. It's not an invitation to become passive. But we must learn to rest in his strength rather than on our own efforts. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." See, in God's presence, we find renewal, peace, wisdom, and strength. And let me tell you, none of those gifts can be downloaded through another notification. They're only cultivated through time with Jesus. Perhaps that explains why so many of us feel spiritually dry. Our souls are trying to survive on constant information instead of regular communion with God. Let me tell you, information is not transformation. And perhaps one of the most bravest decisions we can make this week is surprisingly simple. Put the phone down. Turn the TV off. Go for a walk without our headphones. Sit with our Bible. Pray without rushing. Listen more than we speak. Allow silence to become comfortable again. And I think if we do that, we might just discover that God has been speaking all along. And the problem is never his willingness to speak. The problem is always our willingness to listen. So let me remind you, stillness is not weakness. Stillness is worship. Stillness is dependence. Stillness is faith. When we become still before God, we begin hearing his voice much more clearly than every other voice that is clamoring and competing for our attention. So firstly, what we consume shapes what we become. Secondly, stillness is a spiritual weapon. And then thirdly, can I encourage us to choose presence over constant noise? Everything that I've talked about already leads to one simple question. What will we choose? See, every day we make hundreds of decisions. Some of them are really significant. Most appear very ordinary. We are choosing one more glance at our phone. We are choosing one more notification. We are choosing one more headline. We are choosing one more 5 minutes, which never becomes one more 5 minutes. It's like that snooze button that I hate. Yeah, Elizabeth, just set the alarm for the time you want to get up at. Like, we're choosing. We choose. One more glance at the phone, one more notification, one more headline, one more 5 minutes, it never becomes 5 minutes. And our lives are rarely shaped by one dramatic decision, but they're shaped by thousands of ordinary decisions day by day. And discipleship is just simply a series of daily choices that moves us closer to Jesus. And distraction works in exactly the same way. It's rarely one major event. It's the countless little moments that slowly pull our attention away from him. Paul writes in Ephesians 5 that we should live carefully, making the most of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. And life is not simply about passing time. It's about redeeming time. Every one of us receives the same 24 hours each day. The difference is not how much time we have. The difference is how we'll invest that time. Let me tell you, you can always earn more money. You can always replace your possessions. You can always buy another phone. But you can never replace yesterday. Once time is gone, it's gone forever. Perhaps that is why the enemy works so hard to distract us. He knows that distracted people just often drift through life instead of living with purpose. God has called us to live intentionally. He has called us to notice people. He's called us to hear his voice. He's called us to seize the opportunities when they come. He's called us to live awake rather than just simply existing. Technology promised to bring us together, but very often it's quietly just pulled us apart. And the same thing can happen spiritually. We can sit in church while mentally scrolling through everything waiting for us later, or worse still, we can sit in church and pretend that we're taking notes on our phone on the Facebook app, or we can sit in church and pretend we're paying attention as we watch the football. We can sing songs while we're thinking about our emails. We can pray while we're wondering who's actually replied to our latest post or give it a thumbs up. Or worse still, wondering who hasn't given us a thumbs up on our latest post. Our bodies might be present, but our attention is somewhere far away. Presence is one of the greatest gifts that we can offer another person. Think about the people who've had the greatest influence on your life. Very often, definitely in my case, they were not the loudest people, but they were the people who made you feel seen. They were the people who listened. They were the people who noticed. They were the people who remembered. When you spoke, they gave you your full attention. And that is exactly how Jesus treated people. Read through the Gospels and notice how often Jesus stopped. He stopped for blind Bartimaeus in Mark 10. He stopped for the woman who touched his cloak in Mark chapter 5. He stopped for Zacchaeus sitting in the tree in Luke 19. He welcomed the children when others tried to send them away in Mark 10. Jesus was never in such a hurry that he failed to notice people. Imagine if Jesus lived the exact same way that many of us live today. Imagine him looking down at his screen when Bartimaeus cried out. Imagine him missing Zacchaeus because he was too busy posting on Instagram, "Look at these big crowds I've got today." Imagine him ignoring the woman reaching out in faith to touch the hem of his cloak because he was watching another video on TikTok. It sounds ridiculous, but that is exactly what we do at times. Let me tell you, that is exactly what I do at times. Just yesterday. Yesterday, we were driving to go and pick up my mum and dad. We parked in the street. I knew my phone had buzzed about 5 times when I was driving. I had to resist every urge to pick it up when I was driving. So as soon as I parked, got out the driver's seat, picked up my phone, and me and Elizabeth are walking to my mum and dad's house, walked up the street, we have to turn left and go down the stairs. Stephen kept on walking, Elizabeth's down the stairs, and I'm still walking. Totally fixated on my phone. Distracted. Then this morning, walking the dog, and quite often in the morning I'll walk with my headphones in listening to an audiobook, but today I was, knowing what I'm preaching on today, I'm thinking I'm going to go this morning and I'm going to have no headphones, I'm not going to look at my phone, I was praying, walking the dog, praying about the service, praying about people, really enjoying the walk, and then I felt my phone buzz in my pocket. Pulled out my phone, and do you know what it was? A notification from my calendar app telling me I had church today. But what happened after that? Did I put the phone back in my pocket and continue walking? Nope. Straight, I've got a notification on Facebook. Ooh. Oh, that looks like a funny reel. Let's watch this video. And then as I was walking, I met someone who I'd meet quite often, and I always have a conversation with them. Normally I'll pull my headphone out and speak to them. And I never even realised they were right there in front of me. It was only because I heard the lady saying, "Hello, Millie," talking to the dog, who was showing her more attention than I was. Just this morning. And actually, once I realised that, and I gave myself a bit of a telling off in my mind as I was thinking, what are you speaking about today? Put my phone away, started walking, and started focusing in around about me. And do you know, I actually saw the woodpecker that I've been hearing for about 3 weeks, thinking, I wonder where that woodpecker, I could see it because I was focused. I was paying attention to my surroundings. I noticed the person walking towards me who has been unwell recently and he's been in hospital. I don't know them apart from meeting them when they're walking, but I stopped to have a conversation to ask how they were doing. But if I had my headphones in, or I was too busy looking at my phone, or I went right past. How many opportunities do we miss each week? Why? Because we are looking down instead of looking up. How many people have bumped into you in the street because they're looking down? How many? How many times have you bumped into somebody because you're walking along the road looking at your phone? Let's just be real and honest. That's what we do. How many conversations has God prepared for us to have that never happen because we're too busy being distracted by someone on Instagram and don't even know? How many people desperately need encouragement where we are absorbed in somebody else's carefully edited life online? How many promptings of the Holy Spirit have been drowned out by constant noise? And I don't just mean physical noise, but digital noise coming through screens. How many prompters of the Holy Spirit have been drowned out by that constant noise? And one pastor tells a story of visiting his elderly father in hospital. And during the visit, another family entered the room to visit his father. And a young man came and sat beside his grandfather for almost an hour. He hardly spoke. He never looked at his phone. He just simply sat there and held his grandfather's hand. And when they left, the elderly grandfather had tears in his eyes. And the pastor asked him what had happened. And the old man just replied, "Nothing happened, really. He was just here. He was just here." Those words are incredibly powerful. He was just here. Presence speaks a language that words often cannot. So can I encourage you, never ever underestimate the ministry of simply being fully present. Throughout Scripture, God repeatedly made promises, promising his presence before he promises his provision. His greatest gift has always been himself. Jesus is called Emmanuel, God with us. Not God watching from a distance, not God occasionally checking in, but God with us. And if we want to become more like Jesus, we need to learn to value presence the way that he does. being present with God, present with our families, present with our friends, present with people who are hurting, present in church and worship and everyday conversations. It's so tempting. I struggle every day. If I'm meeting somebody and I hear my phone or I know it's buzzing away, I'm desperate to pull it out of my pocket and pull it out and look at it. When the person's still there, I have to fight against that temptation every single time. Every time. But Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 15, whoever has ears, let them hear. And he was not questioning there where people could hear physically. He was asking where they were truly paying attention. And the same question still echoes for us today. Are we paying attention to God's voice? Are we paying attention to the people around us? Are we paying attention to the opportunities that he's placed before us? Or have we become so distracted that we miss the moments that matter the most? Choosing presence requires intentional decisions. Perhaps leave your phone in another room during your devotional time. And I'm thinking, I read my Bible on my phone, but maybe I need to start reading it on a paper Bible. Perhaps enjoy one meal each day without a device at the table. That may be a challenge for some families. Perhaps put your phone away wherever someone is speaking to you. Perhaps create moments every day where everything is switched off and your heart becomes quiet before God. And those are not rules. They're just healthy rhythms. Rhythms that create room for God to work. Rhythms that help us travel lighter. Rhythms that help us remind us what really matters in life. I want to tell you, this has never ultimately been a message about phones or social media. This has been a message about priorities. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33 that we have to do what? Seek first his kingdom. Not seek first our mobile phone. Not seek first Instagram, social media, whatever it is. But seek first his kingdom. First. Not eventually. Not when everything else is finished. But first. When Jesus comes first, everything else finds its proper place. Technology becomes a servant instead of a master. Information becomes helpful instead of overwhelming. Social media becomes something we use instead of something that uses us. The goal is not to withdraw from the world, but to live differently within it. The world will say to us, never miss an update. But Jesus says, remain connected to me. The world will tell us, fill every single spare moment with a screen, a device. But Jesus says, come to me. The world says, keep scrolling. Jesus says, follow me. Every day we choose whose voice will shape our lives. Every day we choose where our attention will rest. Every day we choose whether we will live distracted or devoted. And God has created us for something far greater than endless scrolling on our phones. He has called us to know him. He has called us to hear his voice, to walk with him, to love people well, to make disciples, to enjoy his presence. Nothing on our screen will ever, ever compare to that. Nothing. And the band can come as we start to wrap this up today. And as we come to the end of this message, let me leave you with one simple question today. A simple question. What has your attention? What has your attention? Not what has your attendance, not what is your occasional interest, but what has your attention? Because whatever has your attention will eventually shape your heart. And let me just remind you, our phones are not evil. Technology is not evil. Social media is not evil. They're just simply tools that we can use. Like every other tool, they can either build something that's really beautiful or they can quietly start to control us. Jesus never ever said, follow your notifications. He said, follow me. And those two invitations lead in completely different directions. One of them leaves us exhausted. Follow your notifications. Exhausted. The other, following Jesus, leaves us refreshed. One fills our minds with endless noise. The other fills our hearts with his peace. One encourages comparison. comparison that's just so deadly. The other reminds us of our calling. Perhaps today God is not asking you to do more. Perhaps he's inviting you to listen more. Perhaps he's not asking you to become busier, but he's just inviting you to become quieter. Before next Sunday, I want to encourage you to create one intentional space every day where Jesus has your undivided attention. It might only be 10 minutes, but leave your phone in another room. Open your Bible. Pray. Read slowly. If you're following along with the Bible on a year app, don't go, tick, done another day. Read slowly. Listen carefully. Allow your heart just to settle. Imagine what would happen if every person in Found Church reclaimed 30 minutes every day for the presence of God. Imagine beginning every single morning with scripture instead of social media. Imagine allowing the voice of the shepherd to shape your heart before every other voice comes in. Imagine the difference that would make in your marriage. Imagine the difference it would make with your parenting. Imagine the difference it would make in your workplace. Imagine the difference it would make to your peace. Imagine the difference it would make in our church. Jesus has always invited people to lay down heavy burdens. Fear is heavy. Shame is heavy. People pleasing is heavy. Toxic thinking is heavy. Constant digital noise can become heavy. But Jesus offers us something far better. His peace, his presence, his purpose, his rest, his joy. And I wonder if we could all stand together and let's just close our eyes for a moment. And if the band just stop playing just for a few moments. This might be one of the few quiet moments that you experience for the whole day. So let's not rush it. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Let's ask him one simple question. I just encourage you to ask him this question in your today. To say, Lord, what has been competing for my attention? And if the Holy Spirit is gently putting his finger on something in your life today, can I encourage you to remember that conviction is never, ever condemnation? Jesus never exposes something in order to shame us. He reveals it because he wants to free us. And if you recognize that distraction has slowly stolen your intimacy with God, I want to invite you to respond today. Perhaps it could just be simply lifting your hands where you are. Or perhaps you can come to the front and allow someone to pray with you. And this is not about confessing an addiction to technology. This is about saying, Jesus, I want you to have my full attention again. I want to hear your voice again. I want to enjoy your presence again. I want to travel lighter. And as our prayer team comes, let us just pray for renewed spiritual focus today. Let's be praying for freedom from distraction. Let's be praying for peace to replace anxiety in our lives. Let's be praying that the Holy Spirit will help us to establish healthy rhythms that draw us closer to Jesus every day. Let's be praying that Found Church will become known as a church that is fully present, present with God, present with one another, present in our community, present wherever God has called us to serve. Because when Jesus has our attention, he has our hearts. When he has our hearts, he transforms our lives. And when our lives are transformed, the people around us cannot help but notice. So let's choose his presence over the constant noise around about us. Let us travel lighter. Let us walk freer. Let's give Jesus our full attention again. And just to spend a few moments just in silence again, and if you feel that you would like to come forward for prayer, then please come, and the prayer team would love to pray for you this morning. Father, what's been competing for our attention? Speak to us. Jesus, I want you to have our full attention again. Jesus, we want to hear your voice again. Jesus, we want to experience your presence here with us again. Jesus, we want to travel lighter with you. We want to experience your peace. We want to experience your presence with us. We want to experience your purpose. We want to experience the rest that only comes from you. We want to experience your joy in our lives. And so, Father, I just pray that we can have freedom from distraction, that we can experience peace in our lives where there's anxiety. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll help us to establish those healthy rhythms that draw us closer to you each and every single day. Father, I pray that each of us can become fully present with you, present with one another, present in our community, present wherever you've called us to serve. Because we know when you have our attention, you have our hearts. And Father, when you have our hearts, that's when you begin to transform us. And when our lives are transformed, people around us notice. So, Father, today we're choosing your presence over constant noise. Father, I just pray that you help us to travel lighter, to walk freer. Father, I pray that we will give you our full attention again. And that we'll see our phones and the digital distractions as simply tools that we can use. Tools that we can use day by day. Tools that can help us to become more like Jesus. Tools that will draw us closer to you rather than tools that will distract us away from you. So Holy Spirit, will you come and work and move in each of us today? Will you speak to us afresh? And as we worship you now, Father, I just pray that if anyone needs prayer in these moments, that they will just come and let the prayer team pray for them. Not to come and confess that they're somehow addicted to their phones and all of that stuff, but just come and praying that you can help them to just fix their focus back on you, to listen to your still small voice, to walk where you've called them to walk, to do the things that you've called them to do, so that we can put your presence above that constant digital noise that we hear all around us. So, Father, will you come and work and move and speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.